Hey guys, Ed here. Obviously, Ed. let's see. We got Blake. Hey, Blake. Good to see you, Kelly. Feel like I just saw you, Blake. We're actually just corresponding, and here you are. Just getting things set up, guys. And hey, you know what? I'm curious. You doing anything fun in the next 2 weeks? Where are you going? Let me know in the chat box. Or are you doing something cool? Traveling? Or are you going to have a house full of people and going to be ready for it all to be over? What's going on? Let me know. Well, we wait for a couple more folks here and we're going to get started. Hey, Jacob. Good to see you, man. It's been a while. Hannah, welcome. So what is everybody up to over the next couple of weeks? Taking some time off, planning on working, planning on putting in a little bit of time. I tell you, I do a year-end review this time of year. And sometimes it can be a little bit hectic because we tend to take off the day after Christmas. And we're gone usually through New Year's Eve and or through New Year's Day. So it can be... I do the review, but it can be a little hectic. This year, we're not taking off until the 2nd. We're just taking off for 4 days, just around here, North Georgia Mountains. And so I'm going to enjoy having next week here to just kind of finish my review and planning for 2019. So that's what I'm up to. Just going to chill. We're not going anywhere. And that's how I like it. Kelly says, taking some time off between the 24th and the 1st, going for high tea on the 27th. Oh, wonderful. Yes, I agree. Wonderful time to decompress. And Hannah, I know I saw you were doing some brainstorming for goals for next year. I'm going to post this. We'll get it uploaded in the snackables area as well. But I'm going to share with you guys a list of questions that I run through at the end of the year. They're great prompts that can lead to a more productive brainstorming session in terms of, because it forces you to really think back through the year. I know that's something you traditionally don't do a good job of. So these questions really help me think about the year. I'm so future oriented that I often forget to look back, you know, what happened this year? What went well? What did I learn? What would I have done differently? And a bunch of other questions that are kind of along the same lines, but really, really make you think. So I'll share those with you guys. In fact, let me make myself a note. Year-end questions. I'll probably share it in the Facebook group, and then we'll post it in the snackables area as well. Hannah, going home to Ohio. Wow, dialing down client work and still plan on doing prospecting between Christmas and New Year's. Yes, and big picture stuff. Yeah. Absolutely. Blake says, I'm super busy, so I won't be taking any time off. I think things will calm down in mid-January so I can relax a bit. Yeah, love it. Cool, right, Blake? Because, I mean, a few months ago, I remember, man, you were, like, super nervous. You know, when that big client went away and things were looking a little scary. So it's great to see you. Yeah, it's great to see you busy. Good problem to have, right? It's. I'd rather take that one. Jacob, I'll be taking some time off to relax, but also planning for 2019. Excellent. Good, guys. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. I think a couple other folks are going to join us here. And let's go through wins of the week, and I'm going to go ahead and just share an announcement that I emailed you guys about an hour ago. But let's get started with wins of the week. As usual, I like to get started on a positive note. If you could do me a favor and just type in W in the chat area and then just share a win that you've had since our last conversation. And again, a win could be anything, big or small. You define what it is. It could be anything from a breakthrough to just making progress in a certain area to wrapping up some great work with some clients to getting some insights, making progress through your game plan, whatever. You define what it is, but let me know. Again, it's just a good time to kind of think about what's gone well. You know, if you're like me and you're future-oriented, sometimes you forget about what's gone well. You know, you spend 10 minutes celebrating and then you totally forget. You immediately start thinking about the future. So let me know in the chat area, capital W, and share a win there. And while you're also there, might as well type in a P and let me know what you're working on right now in terms of our work together. Okay, so project. So, you know, in the game plan, we work in projects. And what are you focused on right now? What are you currently implementing or going through in terms of training? Let us know by typing in P in front of it. All right, Hannah says, I got an email back from the marketing director saying she submitted full payment for the invoice. I was getting some pushback from international marketing manager. Thanks for the help on the email. Oh, excellent. Great to hear. I figured, you know, this was going to resolve itself. You did the right thing. You absolutely need to follow up. I see way too many people just kind of feel like the client has the say and you have no say. And you know what? You got to stand up for what's right here. And I was going to say, you have to stand up for your right to party, but you know, we're not going to go there. Yeah. So great work, Hannah. Glad you did that. Jacob, been super busy over the last couple of weeks onboarding a few new clients. Hey, congratulations, man. Awesome. Jacob, I'm curious, are they kind of clients along the lines of what you're trying to do more of? Been curious if you're kind of moving in that direction you're trying to move on. And I know you're looking to package some of your services and do some cool stuff. Blake says, I just completed a 5-page white paper in 2 days instead of the 5 days I had planned for it. I was on a roll and the paper just flowed out of me. Now I have more time for my other projects. Man, 2 days. That's crazy. That's fantastic. Good for you, man. But hey, when you're on a roll, you're on a roll. I'm with you, man. It's, sometimes I have a great plan, but if I'm in the flow, I will just keep on going because I want to take advantage of that. Congratulations, buddy. All right. So let's go ahead and before we get to questions, you may have seen the email I sent, and I wanted to go over some changes here. But anytime if you got a question, guys, you want to talk through anything, you know what to do. Type in a capital Q in the chat area. Give me an idea of what you want to talk about, or you know, just let me know that you'd like to chat, and we can have a conversation. When we talk, just make sure to keep your question focused and specific. You guys usually don't have a problem with that. And one question per person, I can come back to you if you have something else. Of course, if applicable, let's talk about what options you're considering. Hannah also said she's working on the mindset module. I've gone through it before, but it's good to review before getting into the next phase. Great. Love it. Jacob says, yeah, I've started offering packaged blog services and it's been going pretty well. Excellent. Great to hear. Great to hear, my friend. All right. So here's what's going on, guys. Two big changes. One is we are going to, internally here, we're merging our 2X community. So the way I've traditionally done this is every time I start a new 2X project group, we have our own little mini community. When our work was done, what I used to do, and that's changed, but what I used to do is I used to automatically just move everyone from my current group into the alumni group, which has been growing because I started doing this work about 4 years ago. And that has worked fairly well. The one part that has worked really, really well is that my community of 2X Project alumni is amazing. I mean, honestly, it's the best community I've ever helped create. Everything that I've ever wanted from a community of clients, coaching clients, it's happening there. They're extremely professional, smart, very giving, very engaged people. And I'm just really, really proud to be associated with them. So you got this little community of 70 plus people there. It's very engaged, very active, very vibrant. And then we have currently a small group of us. It's like, I don't know, 13 of you or so, 14 of you. It's very challenging. It's becoming even more challenging with Facebook and the way they're changing their algorithm to get real, true, active engagement throughout the week with a group this small. You guys are busy, okay? You got things to do. I don't think you're on Facebook every day, all day long, and I wouldn't want you to. Okay. But I think we're missing something, and I really feel strongly about the power and value of community in the work we're doing together. And it's become a huge, huge issue for me, and a goal for 2019 is improving the value of our community here. So what I've decided to do is to basically just create one Facebook community for all 2X Project folks. Okay. And that includes you guys who are current clients of mine, as well as previous clients. I think you're going to get a lot more out of it because you're going to see new people, new discussions, new ideas, new insights, leads, client leads being passed around. The value to you is going to be super. Now, obviously, like with any community, you get out of it what you put in. Okay. So, if you're a giver, you're going to get more back. Of course, you should do that with a giving heart, not because you expect to get more. But if you want to get the most out of it, be an active participant as best you can. I'm not saying you need to be here every day. Okay. But as best you can, be active, contribute, give, offer ideas, insights. And I'm telling you, it's going to come back to you. Okay. So, I have no doubt this is going to be of huge value to you. But I just wanted to let you know the email went out about an hour ago. The way to join. So you're going to have to join that group. Now, the good news is you're going to be automatically approved. The link to join is inside the email that went out, at noon Eastern today. Okay. So check your inbox. If you haven't seen it, make sure to click on it. Now, what will happen to our current 2X group? Well, we're going to leave it. It's going to become read only. So we're probably going to leave it on for a couple more weeks, 2-3 more weeks, probably first of the year. We're going to go ahead and not turn it off or delete it. We're just going to kind of lock it and make it read only. Why read only? Because if you want to go back to maybe a conversation we had or some discussion, you can always go back if you wanted to. Okay. But come, 1st of January, we're going to be pretty much having all our discussions in the new group. Now, just FYI, that's actually a good segue to my next point. The group is called 2X Project Alumni. Actually, the 2X Project, let me find out exactly before I, the 2X Project Private Forum. Okay. So it might be a little confusing at first, but it's called the 2X Project Private Forum. Now, that leads me to this next point, which is we're going to be changing the name of this program. Ideally, not the best time to do this right now, because we're kind of, some of you, we just started a new group. Some of you, we're kind of halfway through things. There's never a great time to do these things, guys, as you know, and I'm very much a ready, fire, aim person. So I figured, let's just go ahead and do both things now. The 2X Project started out as an experiment about 4 years ago. And the whole idea was I saw a lot of people who were earning between $30,000 and $80,000 a year who have been stuck there. And I knew based on what I was seeing in my discussions with people that doubling that income or combination of doubling that and their time off was very, very doable. So it started out as an experiment. I mean, I really co-created this with my first group of coaching clients at this level. Since then, our work here has changed a little bit. Some people want to double their income. Some people don't necessarily aren't obsessed with doubling their income. They want more, but they also want more balance, more time, more freedom, more flexibility. They want to create a better, more business that's more fun. So there's all kinds of different goals, and I feel like the 2X Project as a name no longer represents what we're doing here with everybody. So I wanted to change that to something that I think is more representative, and we're changing it to Elevate, the Elevate program. Now, I'll have more details later, but it's just know that we're going to keep it 2X for a couple of weeks. First of the year, we're going to change the branding to Elevate, and just for the sake of making sure that everyone knows where the Facebook group is, we'll probably just keep the 2X group in parentheses somehow. So maybe the, Elevate, formerly the 2X Project, something along those lines, just so you know where it is and what it is. I'll release more details down the road. I don't want to overwhelm you with information. And again, I have all this in that email, and I'm giving you a little bit more background there. But just know that this is all happening pretty quickly. We debated whether to make everything, change everything at once, but we decided that it would be better to go ahead and merge the groups now before the holiday and then just rebrand first of the year. So you're going to see that change then. So anyway, with that, if you got any questions, please let me know, okay? Nothing is going to change in terms of, you know, how we're working together. This is really just a rebranding thing and a community thing. And the rebranding is really not going to impact you, I don't think, because we're working together on your specific situation. So that doesn't change anything. The community will only be a big benefit to you. One quick thing, and then we'll get to questions. Because we have, actually two quick things. Because we have a combination of current coaching clients and past coaching clients in this group, I'm no longer going to do a dedicated Q&A thread. Okay. So you can go ahead. If you got a question, just post it there for two reasons. Well, really the main reason is that others can also contribute advice. So I'm, of course, going to answer your question, but you also get some other viewpoints. You get some additional information, maybe some people saying, yeah, that happened to me. Here's what I did. So I think it's only going to add more value to you. By creating a Q&A thread in this particular situation, my concern is that my past clients will feel like they shouldn't be the ones answering because they feel that they're stepping on my toes, and I don't want that. And then the other thing will be that I'm going to be answering your questions, your issues, and I've already told my alumni that, you know, if I occasionally will answer some of their stuff, but you guys have top priority because you're my current clients. And then the third thing I would say is that I did this for my previous groups a long time ago where they got access to this group, but I no longer do that. So from now on, it's going to become unwieldy if we automatically move everyone to this community. So this community will only be part of the program while we're working together. So that's it. And again, any questions, just let me know. Blake had a question here. Another question. You've answered all my questions for today in your emails and a video. I was concerned about what happens when my time is up in the program. So Blake, yeah, I had, let me just bring you in, because, hey Blake, you're on, my friend. Hello.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry, I had to put my headset on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just had realized that time was coming to an end on my membership, and I was wondering what to do. And I think you answered all those questions in the email that you sent.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. I thought you had a question about that, but yeah. Good. Yeah. So we covered all that. Do you have anything else there, or you're all set?
No, I'm all set.
Awesome. Great, man.
Yeah, very informative. I appreciate it.
You bet. Sorry. I was concerned that I might be overloading you guys with information, but I also didn't want to kind of create more questions than anything else. So, all right, guys. So let's go ahead and open it up again for questions. Just type in a Q in front of it, raise your hand, yell at me, whatever you need to do, and let me know where I can help and support you. Hannah, I think I'm going to put you on the spot. I was waiting for you to ask a question, and you haven't talked. It's like your second call. We haven't even talked.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm good. I'm getting ready to type, so this is actually much easier. How are you?
Good. Good. Yeah, it's great to hear your voice. It's been, I know we've corresponded quite a bit, but we hadn't really talked in a few months. So I figured, I'm going to put her on the spot.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of what I was thinking. So for the plan that you gave me, it was starting with mindset stuff and then diving into essentially kind of re-strategizing who I'm targeting, which is kind of getting into the why, my why and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking for when I want to do that kind of prospecting between Christmas and New Year's, am I going to have to try to aim to have gone through that module and even have my website copy updated and everything before I start reaching out? Or do you think I can just kind of have new prospects that I'm looking for if I know who I'm talking to and just don't sweat it if the website is not reflective of my new positioning? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So, essentially guys, so Hannah is going to be, well, should I say you're going to be pivoting in terms of target audience? Okay. So Hannah's going to be pivoting, new target audience. She's had success where she is now, but she realizes this is not where she wants to be long term. So the question is, right, if you're going to be prospecting between Christmas and New Year's, what do you do it with your new audience or with your current audience, considering that it might be really pushing it to have your new positioning, new website copy, et cetera, done by, gosh, that's next week already. Can you believe it?
Right.
Here's what I would do. I would go after the new audience and not worry about your website copy right now.
Okay.
In a perfect world, yeah, you would have everything ready, but there's just no way. I mean, I don't know how far along you are, but unless you got it all good to go, then yeah, but it sounds like you're still working on that other stuff.
Yeah, I still need to, and this is really the kind of one of the big problems, why I even kind of was like, I need to, you know, join this group and everything, is because I really need to dig into who it is that I do want to target and how narrowly do I want to focus. And that's my big, big thing. So that is, I think, going to take a little bit of time and focus. So, but I don't want to take too long on it, obviously. I want to get rolling, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And now here's the nuances is that, or one of the nuances of doing this is that you're not, you got to be careful in terms of what you point to in your warm email. Because you don't necessarily want to send them to your homepage, for example, which is geared towards somebody completely different.
Yes. Typically,
you know what I'm saying?
I do. Typically, when I reach out, I kind of don't tend to send people back to the website too much anyway. I usually just kind of do the initial email, which is just kind of introducing myself, and then I'll do that follow-up email, and then I'll just send a link to recent work. And I try to kind of position that with, like, okay, who is this company? What might they be interested in that I've written recently that applies, you know? And then from there, I might get someone that says, is there more work I can see? And then I'll send them my sort of samples page on my website. So it's usually kind of like third step in anyway, but some people I meet that I send them an email and then they look at me on LinkedIn, and my LinkedIn is kind of positioned that way right now toward the renewables and solar. But I don't know. Yeah, it's still workable, especially if we're talking, you know, the software and the SaaS stuff. I mean, I've already sort of been planting seeds for that a little bit. So,
yeah. No, I think that makes perfect sense. It just go after them. You got the approach dialed in anyway. And because here's what you want. There's a possibility that you're going to get somebody to respond and you can engage them in conversation and get them to a phone call first of the year. So it's got a great upside. But if you don't do it, then none of that has a chance of happening. So
yeah.
I would rather try and hopefully engage, you know, one or two prospects than zero.
Definitely. I think.
And in terms.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead. Cause I was going to, you mentioned something that I want to hit on in terms of, you know, how granular do you want to get? And I had, some ideas for you or a way to think about it.
Oh, great. Yeah, you can go ahead with that. I mean, I'll remember this thing. Maybe I'll even, you know, post a message on Facebook about it later because it's almost separate.
Oh, no. Yeah, we can talk. So here's, this is a common challenge where it's okay. Let's just take healthcare, right? How narrow should it be? And, I like to think of it as an inverted pyramid. You could say, well, if you stay really broad, you can say, look, I write for everybody, Okay. And I had zero success doing that, by the way. Then, you know, another way we could go a little bit narrow where I write for B2B companies. Then another one could be healthcare. So it's narrower. Okay. And then it's health IT. Just as an example. Okay. And you know what? There's even like another one over here. Let's just call it, let's just say more detailed. Because I was going to say electronic health records, but that's a pretty big market. Something that's even more granular than that. So the way this, you want to think about it is, this is obviously the no-fly zone.
Yeah.
You know, this is way too broad. But this is the one a lot of people miss. This can be the no-fly zone too. Mm. It's too narrow. You're taking too big a risk going way too granular and not getting traction, spending 3 months pursuing prospects. And just not enough of a market. I got someone right now with a similar problem. I mean, I see this all the time, but just reminded me because we were corresponding today. Her thing is hospitality IT. And so SaaS hospitality software companies. It's so narrow that she's having a really hard time. Most of them are startups. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, we may have gone a little too granular.
Right.
So your sweet spot is really, and I'll show you the exception, but your sweet spot is really here or here. And I would say to know which one is, it depends on how much industry or insight you have regarding this or this. So the exceptions would be if you just came from a job where you worked in something really detailed and granular, then you understand the dynamics, you understand what's going on, you know who the players are, you have relationships. This can make sense right off the bat. This can make sense depending on what it is. Like in this example, health IT, I think it can make sense because that's huge. And then this one could go either way. Using this example, I think this might be a little too broad because this one is big enough to sustain you. Does that help in terms of how to think about it?
It does. Yes. This is very helpful.
So just be careful with this. From what I remember you telling me, you know, this might be good for you anyway, because you didn't really come from, you know, this world recently. So it's not like you have that insider perspective.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think because I wrote for health and healthcare for a little bit, even in-house. And then when I went out on my own, I did try to target for quite a while healthcare, but I had a really hard time sort of breaking in and sort of talking to other writers who write in that. They kind of said it was a little bit of kind of one of those industries where you have to like know people, you have to sort of already be on the inside or whatever. So then I was sort of just like, kind of did what am I interested in kind of thing. And that led me to the renewable energy. And then that kind of just, I actually had a little more luck prospecting with those people. And then I sort of niched down into solar just sort of by, that was where I was finding work. That was where people were hiring, you know, for writers and that kind of thing. But then, so it's kind of like now I'm at a point where I do have sort of that detailed understanding of even technical stuff about solar and industry stuff, so I sort of know all that stuff pretty well, but I'm finding that just there's not quite enough opportunity for my ambition. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'll have to sort of recalibrate, and yeah, and like we talked about, like I wish I had more of a professional background to pull on, because I think that would really help me a lot. So sort of, I'm almost starting from scratch, but I know I can do it, and I've done it before. I just have to figure out where to focus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally get that. We all want that, you know, extensive professional background in an awesome market for writers.
Yeah.
But in many cases, we don't have it. Here's the good news. You can create that.
Right.
So all you need is 3 to 6 clients, you know, in here to get enough of a footing and a track record and credibility to keep stair-stepping. Okay? That's all. So when you think about it that way, you know what? This is a short-term problem, and it's a very solvable problem here in the next few months.
Yeah.
Or let's just say the whole 2019 or half of 2019. You're in a hurry, so let's just say the first half of 2019. you know, it's a solvable problem. I had a similar situation in that, you know, I picked IT, but my experience in IT is not as extensive as it might appear. I'd only had a year in with a reseller of computer equipment, software, and professional IT services. And then I went to work for a construction software company. And what I was selling was not enterprise level software. It was, you know, our average deal was like 15, 20 grand. Mm-hmm. But I didn't talk about that. I didn't say, well, yeah, but I don't really have that much experience. I just talked about how I had software experience, IT experience. And that was enough to get me those 3 to 6 clients. And then, of course, then I started leveraging that. That was kind of like what I really focused on. Of course, I talked about my experience and my background, but then I was highlighting this as credibility because then people thought, well, if she's worked for these clients, she must know what she's doing, right?
Right. Yeah. And I do like the health IT. I have to say that's an angle that somehow I hadn't put together yet. I thought healthcare and I thought IT or software, but I hadn't put the two together somehow. So that's interesting. That's a good angle. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Massive. Massive. And that's why in this example, this could work. That's why this is like, you know, here you could actually go to this level and there would be enough work there to keep you plenty busy. In other markets, this level is too granular, you know, at least to start when you're pivoting. In other markets, you have to kind of stick with this. And then over time, if it makes sense, then narrow it down.
Yeah. And I feel like I have sort of a leg up because I have samples, though not in maybe health IT, but in health and in IT separately. So, yeah.
Perfect. There you go.
Cool.
Awesome. So, yeah, good luck. Let us know how it goes with your efforts next week.
Thank you. Yes, I will. I'm excited. Thanks for the chat. I took a couple screenshots, so that's very helpful.
Awesome. Good stuff, and great to have you on board. Hey, Erica. Saw Erica joined us. Good to see you here. Kelly has a question here. She says, is it a good idea to do warm email prospecting for PR agencies that specialize in my targeted fields as well as actual companies? I think can be a great idea, Kelly. Let me bring you in and talk about it. I think a couple of you work with agencies as well. Hey, Kelly. It can definitely be. Have you worked with agencies before, PR or marketing?
Yes, I have. I just, since I was going to try and get, better pricing. I didn't know if they would be good for that or if they had a tendency to try and go for lower priced writers.
Yeah. So as you know, right, it could go either way. Here's how I like to think of agencies, and then you'll see why it can be a good strategy to have a mix in terms of your clients, especially if you're trying to get some momentum. The thing with agencies that a lot of writers do wrong is that they just go after agencies locally, for instance. So I live in the Atlanta area. I'm going to go after Atlanta agencies. It doesn't matter if it's PR or marketing or ad agencies. I'm a local writer. I would love to take on some of your overflow work. Something along those lines. Maybe those not the words they use all the time, but essentially they're positioning themselves as a helper, okay? And I want you to put yourself in their shoes, okay? They're probably getting at least, 3 or 4 solicitations from writers and other creatives every month. And now they got the work. You know, agencies tend to have a steady stream of work that involves writing. But, like, what distinguishes one from the other? And most of them are just saying that, the same thing. It's, hey, I can help you take on the overflow work. So the trick with agencies, any kind of agency, is forget about location. That is not a strong enough differentiator. Instead, focus on the fact that you're focused on the ed tech market, educational technology, right? So it's really the specialty and the industry or target market focus. That was what's going to set you apart. So if you approach it that way, which means that you start by looking for PR firms or marketing firms that have educational technology clients, or flat out say that that's their specialty, then you say, I see that that's your focus. Fantastic. That is my focus. You know, I'm curious if you ever work with outside writers and if there might be an opportunity for us to, you know, have a quick conversation about how I could help you with some of your future projects. That is a very different message. And now when you engage in, first of all, it has a higher probability of them saying, yeah, let's talk. And two, it has a lower probability of them treating you like a commodity in terms of pricing and how they just treat you in general.
Oh, okay, cool.
I've had several clients who took that approach, and I'm giving you some extreme situations here, but just to illustrate what can happen, the way the marketing firm, of course, you know, they test you out with a few projects and, you know, sometimes they're rushed. And as you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to work with agencies because they want everything now. And, you know, it's not the ideal situation every time. But once they tested them out and they saw what the writer could do, eventually the writer became a strategic part of their business. I have one example, a coaching client who a few years ago, not only did it become strategic, but he was pretty much full time with them as a freelancer. And he teaches workshops, very strategic workshops for the agency. And they have him on the website as, you know, a key member of the team. And so think about that, right? You could get to a point where one of your agency clients could think of you as a key member of their team. And even bring you in to help win business. You know, like they're really courting a prospect. It's like, hey, here's Kelly. She's one of our writers focusing on ed tech, yada, yada, yada. I mean, think so. That's strategic. And that is not someone who's going to lowball you and try to pay you, you know, $500 for a white paper or whatever.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah. So get real targeted. You're not going to find a million of them, but find the ones who are focusing and targeting and have ed tech clients and go about it that way, which is better. You don't need 1,000 of these. You just need, right, 2-3 dozen to call on at first to get started and we'll see where it takes you.
Okay. Yeah, I actually, a follow-up to that is I had made contact with one PR agency, and the fellow there had been telling me that he would like to see me at a trade show. And there is one in my state. I was wondering, is that really worth my while?
You know, so he wanted to see you at a trade show he's going to?
Yeah, he was suggesting, he says he goes to trade shows, and he was suggesting that I go to trade shows as well.
Oh, but now is he saying because it would be good for you or because he wants to meet you at one he's going to?
One, he thought it would be good for me. He thought that was a good way of making all the contacts. And I guess he said, and if you're there, then we can meet each other face to face. And he'd like that.
Yeah. It can be. You need a strategy specifically to get the most out of the show.
Okay.
And I'm happy to talk with you about that. If you identify one that you think would be really good for you, here's the first thing I would look for with trade show guys and conferences is make sure they're prospect-rich events. A Okay, not one of these things where, yeah, there might be some marketing people. It's in my industry, but there might be some marketing people. No, you want it to be in your target market and be prospect rich in terms of the contacts you work with, which in many cases is going to be a marketing director, right? So you want marketing people there. And that takes some homework. You got to figure out, okay, well, like who would be attending? Sometimes, many times you won't know, like they don't publish their attendee list or registrants, but you can tell by the, if you look at the schedule and what the sessions are titled, the workshops inside and everything, you'll be able to tell. If everything is about like really technical IT stuff, you know that's not going to be marketing people. But if there's a mix or if it's really heavy on the marketing side of things, then you know that you're going to have your ideal target there. So what I would say is that that's really the first thing. Don't make the mistake of just saying, yeah, conferences, and then just go to the first one that sounds good. You got to do your homework and make sure, because if you're going to invest that kind of not just money, but also your time, you know, you could be out 3-4 days. You want to make sure that it's going to count, you know?
Thank you. That really, it gives me a way to think about which one to target, because there are a few. So I will
absolutely
actually go.
Let me know. And then what we could do is if you find one or two, then let's talk about if you decide, hey, I want to try this, or you want to know more, let's talk about how to make the most out of it. And you want to do basically, it's going to be like stuff you got to do before, the plan to make the most out of it, stuff you want to do while you're there, and then stuff you want to do after.
Okay.
Okay. And I got some training on that too that I can give you that will make it a lot easier, but yeah.
Cool.
All right. You're welcome. You are welcome. Yeah. Conferences can be cool. And by the way, like don't think that, well, you know, that's not, I don't really like being with a lot of people, or I don't really like being in rooms full of people, because I mean, I am half introverted, and I find it exhausting sometimes to go to these things, but I have found that it's a lot easier to start conversations with people, especially if you do some pre-planning, than you would think. It just really, it's all about how you approach it. I would say that 95% of anyone that I've seen who goes to a conference on their own, not because their employer sent them, they're there and they have no plan. And I mean, they just don't get anything out of it, or very little. Okay, so open floor right now, guys. If you have a question, just type in capital Q in the chat area, and I'll bring you in. We can have a chat. Erica, back from the dentist. All right, good. I always worry every time I go to the dentist that they're, I finally found a good one who's not going to tell me every time I show up that there's problems. You know, before it seemed like there was always a problem, or they were trying to upsell me something. I'm like, you know, man, now I really hate going to the dentist. Yeah, right. Now, you know, it's just become, it's not as bad as with doctors. Doctors, I mean, they're just not making any money. But dentists still on just regular visits, they're not really making that much money. So it's really on the cosmetic stuff and some of this other procedures. That's where they really make their money. So it's just, as a marketer, I kind of see that. I'm like, okay, sure. We have about $15,000 worth of dental work in my teenage son. Yeah, Hannah. Get ready. Start saving now, Hannah. In terms of game plans, guys, anyone kind of if this is really not a question, but more of a statement, depending on where you are right now, if you, I want you to take some time within a couple of weeks to go back to your game plan. And if, when you look at it, if you realize that you're now heavy in implementation mode and you might be ready to kind of look ahead, let me know either in the Facebook group or send Crystal an email and we can always do an updated game plan for you. Okay. So yeah, take some time. Make sure if it's been a while since you've looked at it because you've been implementing that stuff. And the way you know is, okay, Ed, yeah, I've gone through all of this and I am just implementing this every week and I kind of got it down. I'm kind of ready to look ahead. Then yeah, perfect. Let's look at next steps. I want to make sure that it's good that you have momentum there, but let's not get stuck there. Let's improve on that. And I got a really cool process that walks you through that ensures that you're getting a good ROI from this. Okay. It's, I want to be very ROI focused. Make sure you're getting serious return for your investment here in our work together. Hey, while I'm waiting, let's do this. And I know we haven't had a lot of conversations, but what's been valuable for you so far in today's conversation? Either something we talked about or something you heard from a conversation I had with somebody else. Just type in a capital V. Let me know what's been useful today. One of the things that I, going back to the whole conference and events thing, is where does this fit in? And, you know, should I go after agencies? If so, how? For those of you who have gone through the marketing and prospecting plan training, I find that, because I do the same process that I teach you there, I go through the same process. I find that looking at everything that you could do to land clients or generate leads, I've narrowed it down to about 18 things that are going to be your best bets. Okay, so that's great because we've gone from, you know, unlimited number of things you could do to about 18. And then going through that process and narrowing down to just a few things will give you great clarity. So if you've gone through it and it's been a while, you may want to kind of go back through the handouts and revisit your index card. Remember, the whole idea was to be able to fit your whole strategy in your index card and make sure to always go back to that. Sometimes it's very easy to get distracted, and say, you know what? I want to try this thing. And somebody's doing this really cool thing with Facebook ads, or somebody's doing this really cool thing with postcards or whatever. And I always urge you to go back to your index card. There's a reason why you picked what you picked. And it's okay. Sometimes you have to make some changes. Sometimes you have to change your strategy. Totally fine. But by forcing you to go through the criteria you use to narrow it down, you'll be able to know when you're making a good decision. Hannah says, so valuable so far, our conversation about my pivot. Connected some new dots for me before I even go into the targeting marketing module. Awesome. Good stuff. Yeah, and you'll like that, the marketing stuff, Hannah. Kelly, the advice about PR agencies and conference. Great. My pleasure, Kelly. Blake, the discussion about PR agencies was helpful. I've had that on my to-do list, but never followed through. Yeah, you know, one of the cool things about PR agencies. So I said, hey, PR agencies, ad agencies, marketing firms, doesn't matter. You want to take the same approach. Particularly with PR agencies, though, one thing I've found is that they have even more writing to do than maybe your average marketing firm. And now this is not the case everywhere, but I found this to be an interesting perspective or an interesting dynamic about PR firms. Yes, they have staff writers. Many of them do, but they often work with freelancers, number one. Number two, usually PR firms have domain expertise. Like they're much more focused in many cases than marketing firms. So for instance, you'll have a PR firm that focuses really heavily on the, let's just say the SaaS market, software as a service. And because of that, they've developed that expertise, those relationships. The reason they have to focus is more than anybody else is because part of their value is having relationships with the press in that particular target market. It's really hard to develop relationships in multiple markets. So by really focusing, they can develop and nurture and grow those relationships with the press in that particular target market. Where I'm going with this is that even if they work with an outside writer, there's going to be quite a bit of writing. You never know. They never know when that writer might quit, might leave, might get too busy, might get, completely overwhelmed. Number one. Number two, the domain expertise is even more important there because their clients expect more. And number three, this is interesting. I found that a lot of them don't want to write internally some of the things that need to be written. I did a ton of business with several clients just writing ghostwritten articles, bylined articles for some of the executives. In some cases, my client didn't want the PR firm writing them because they felt that the PR firm was having way too much turnover, which is very common with writers. And so they came to me and they wanted to use a PR firm for pitching articles. In other cases, the PR firm really needs, that expertise and they will value it and they will, they don't want to do the bylined articles. They would rather you do it. They want to focus on what they consider the fun stuff, right? The pitching, the relationships and that other stuff. But other than press releases, if we get much deeper than that, I'm generalizing here, but many times they don't want to do the longer pieces. Okay, Erica has a question here regarding game plan. I've been reviewing the resources of my game plan and going through the Overcoming Imposter Syndrome module, and I'm not really sure what to do to implement it. I feel like I'm not focusing on the right content. I'm finding it hard to grab a foothold on the training. Okay, so let me bring you in. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Ed. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good.
Is your mouth completely numb, or are you...
I've had the worst 2 months. I've had one root canal and two crowns, so hopefully I'm done now.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No pain today, though.
Good. All right, so let's talk about that. Yeah, the first two that I had in your game plan was the Better Client's Mindset and Overcoming Imposter Syndrome. Mm-hmm. There's really not a ton to implement there. That's really more awareness and reframing than anything else.
Okay.
So... that's really just kind of setting the stage for what's coming to make sure that you are thinking about your improvement a little differently.
Okay.
Where the real implementation work starts is going to be with your next one, the positioning, website mm-hmm. copy, raising your fees, that okay. sort of thing.
Okay.
So are you just finished the imposter syndrome stuff?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So just really more an awareness than anything else. Kind of keep it on the back of your mind. It's the kind of thing you like, now I'm paying more attention to that mm-hmm. thing and I'm being more aware. When I feel a certain way, I remember, or I'll try to remember this stuff when it comes up.
Right. Okay.
So you're not doing anything wrong. It's just that is not as implementation heavy as the other stuff. In fact, okay. There's not much to implement there.
Perfect. And I think I've been really focusing on it because, to be honest, I'm scared a little bit. And I think I mentioned that on Facebook once about how it's really, really exciting. But I also feel like, oh, my gosh, this, 2019, this is going to change everything. And so I think that I've been letting myself focus a little more than I should be on the imposter syndrome side of things. And I know it's been an issue for me in the past, but now, so I kind of have like your public permission, I guess, to move on to the next thing.
Yeah, totally. And listen, I appreciate you being honest about that. In fact, you guys do me a favor, raise your hand if you struggle with imposter syndrome. And for those of you not familiar with it, it's the, who am I to, go after these clients, or who am I to offer this service, or who am I to pitch myself a certain way? It's just, so raise your hand or just type in something in the chat. Let me know. Yep. Or whatever. And be honest. Yeah. Kelly says definitely, she raised her hand. And others are just not being honest or paying attention. Panda says for sure. It's crazy. Here's the big breakthrough for me, Erica, was that the more the more I've stretched myself, the more I stepped outside of my comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
The more peace I have. I don't know if it's peace or I just don't think about it anymore. You know, I don't, I'll just go for it and mm-hmm. I don't overthink it or lose sleep over it. And that only came as a result of stretching the boundaries of my comfort zone, which takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, then the imposter syndrome loses its grip on you because it's no longer this like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know, who am I? Like, I've never done that. And mm-hmm. now, because what will happen is the more successes you have with things that you've never done, but you went for it anyway, the more immune you are to future situations like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really helpful. And I think over the past couple of months, I've had some comments that have kind of fed into the imposter syndrome that kind of confirmed that sort of feeling of, you know, oh, you're just writing, or like anybody can do this, that sort of thing. And so, you know how you sometimes hear the negative, or you keep the negative side of things rather than holding on to the positive side of things. So it has been an important module for me to really sink my teeth into.
Good. Yeah. I totally agree with you. Hannah says, I recorded myself saying specific things that I need to address and listen to them every morning. It starts to sink in. Yeah. Affirmations. I think if there's an awareness, which is what I was hoping to give you with the training. And mm-hmm. then there's the doing, that will really, crystallize all of this and help you. Doing is in meaning, again, just one example, stretching, stepping outside of your comfort zone, stretching mm-hmm. yourself and going for it. And sometimes we don't try things because we, it seems like such a big risk. And then if we think about it logically, realize, well, what's the worst that could happen? Like right. they'll say no, or they won't respond, or they'll go with somebody else. Okay, is that the end of the world? No. Okay, now let's talk about the upside. What's the best that could happen? Oh, well, they'll say yes, they'll hire me, and suddenly I'll be, you know, super busy and having fun and making great money. All right. Yeah. You know what? When I compare the upside to the downside, why not? You know?
Yeah.
I'm not risking my health or my life here, or my kids, or, you know, anything important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, it just, you know, go for it. It, something that helps me, because I know you're like, we understand that conceptually. Here's one thing that a little trick I play with myself is, if my best friend were to come to me with the same problem, how would I advise mm-hmm. them?
Right.
And what that forces you to do is detach yourself emotionally. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're great at giving advice to others, aren't we? You know, because we're not emotionally involved, you know, but so somebody comes to. So if I, yeah, my friend Susan came to me and she asked me about this, like, oh, what should I do? It's like, okay, well, I think you should do this and then this. And suddenly you get clarity.
Yeah, I like that.
Cool. So yeah, now the real fun starts with the positioning work, Erica.
Yeah.
So let me know. Just know you're not alone there. So let me know as you go through it. If you need feedback or help, I'm here for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Kelly says she sounds more cheerful than I would if I just came back from the dentist. Okay. Hannah says, I think I know the answer here, but as far as my targeting the health IT, for example, versus some other interesting projects like writing for the travel company, I know Jennifer Gregory has multiple niches with multiple landing pages, but I'll likely get where I need to go quicker by focusing on one target market, correct? Yes, absolutely. Hey, Hannah, so here's the thing. You're absolutely right. You see other people, well, gosh, they got multiple target markets and they find a way to do it with multiple landing pages and so forth. But here's the thing. The rest of the story that you don't hear about as much is that they got there gradually, as opposed to setting up shop with, all right, here are the six target markets that I focus on. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So with that in mind, then, as I'm thinking about repositioning, should I completely abandon what I've sort of already got going, or should I, you know what I mean, sort of focus more on this new thing I want to try, but don't completely just erase all of the, all the work I've done so far. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it depends. How does your current work, because right now you're working with alternative energy, specifically a lot in solar, right?
Right.
Okay, how does much of that work come in? I know some are recurring clients, but what about the others? Are you actively prospecting? Is it now kind of a mostly a word of mouth thing and referrals?
It's mostly still prospecting, mostly, honestly, just from email and the warm emails. I think I got one client who was a client for several months last year from going to an event, a local event, and meeting the marketing director, and then, you know, but yeah, that's been mostly email prospecting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in that case, you need to be smart and practical about this, okay? If the work was just coming to you mostly now because you had a couple of retainer clients and then the 90% of the rest was referrals, that's a situation where I could say, hey, you can comfortably just make the switch because it doesn't matter. The work is already coming to you.
Right.
Changing your website and what you say there is not going to matter. But if right now you're making a living in this other market, you need to be smarter about it. And a couple ways you could do it. I'll tell you the one I don't prefer is setting up two different websites. That's just too much hassle. The second way is to just combine them on your website. You could say, you know, I work for A and B, helping them do X. And as long as they're not completely different, like for instance, I don't know, SaaS companies and massage therapists, right, then, you know, I think it's fine.
Okay. But
my thinking on that has changed. Years ago, I used to think, no, that's incompatible. That's going to cause confusion. People understand, you know, that businesses develop different expertise and it evolves, and you may have like a real strong following here, and then you've also developed this great following here.
Right.
So I think that's totally fine. And then that kind of makes a case for having, you know, in terms of services, or, you know, you may have like a page that really addresses each one of them.
Okay.
You know, and their pain points, et cetera, and your expertise there.
Yeah, I think right now it's even sort of slightly set up that way, because I think initially I kind of went with renewable energy, and then also I did stick with some healthcare because I did get some work in healthcare, mostly in nonprofit healthcare stuff, because that's where I was working.
Okay, that's fine.
So yeah, so that, but I like the idea of the health IT. I think that actually makes a little bit more sense. And I guess my only thing is then, like, I feel it's that whole thing where I'm still a little bit split. Like, for example, one thing I really want to do is get to a point where I love email prospecting. I think it's spectacular, obviously, but I want to get to a point where I can really start populating my blog with stuff that my potential target prospects will find interesting and want to sign up for my newsletter, all that stuff, right? All the inbound stuff. But until I feel like it's almost like, well, who am I speaking to then? Because am I speaking to solar companies? Because they're very different from health IT companies. And you know.
And what you're going to want to do is you're going to maybe hold off a little bit on that until you've pretty much shifted over.
Right. Okay. Until I find out where it's really going to pay off. That makes sense. Okay.
Exactly. And the good news, Hannah, is that even then, I would still advise you to use mostly outbound efforts initially.
Oh.
Because you're pivoting and this is new. You know, kind of like any new business, right? At first, they got to knock on doors. Eventually, when they create momentum and critical mass, then it's a combination. But this actually aligns very well with what I would, you know, what you're going to have to do anyway.
Right.
And at that point, you'll know when you need to start adding some more inbound stuff. But for now, I would say, you know, keep it to both. Now, the one advice I would give you, because I remember looking at your site when I did your game plan, is I would kind of, if you can, cut down on the kind of the B2C message, so that way it's mostly like B2B. That way these two markets are better aligned as a message.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, like, and you know what I mean, right? It's the, you know, making a difference and that kind of thing. It's great stuff, but it's really speaking to a different audience.
Yeah, making a difference. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think because I was, like I said, sort of starting from scratch, I tried to find B2B companies, but it's almost like I feel B2B is sort of the next level up or in. So I almost, maybe this was just in my head, but I felt like I had to start with B2C companies. And then once I had any kind of samples, then I could start targeting B2B. And I've, you know, finally got to where I'm working with B2B too. But yeah, but I agree. I definitely want to focus on B2B. So take away the B2C stuff. I think that makes sense. And yeah. And I guess as I've been going through, you know, sort of the work that is coming to me from referral are these sort of oddball things, right? The travel company, the psychology professor who needed help sort of refining ghostwriting this book. And so these are things that I've taken on where it's like, well, that's not what I'm focusing on, but it's work and it sounds kind of interesting. So I'll do it. And then I'm like, well, maybe I should look into that. You know what I mean? But I don't want to do, you know, shine there, you know? So yeah, that's just what I'm thinking about these days. So.
Well, that is the curse of doing what we do, guys, is I've never met a good writer who didn't have a huge thirst for knowledge, information, and had a lot of interest.
Yeah.
Like pretty much everybody I ever work with has a lot of interest in that they're constantly reading and taking in information. My wife makes so much fun of me because I'm constantly watching documentaries while she's watching Bravo, you know, The Real Housewives. And I don't know, man. I think we're all cut from the same cloth. The problem with that is that we always find things that we're really interested in, and it sounds good, and we want to go after it, which is not the best strategy. So if you ever feel the urge, just come to the next call, and, you know, let me talk you off the ledge.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, and keep in mind, guys, it doesn't mean the great thing about referrals, you know, coming in that you have the right of the refusal, right? So if something sounds interesting, it's like, wow, I would have never thought of this. You never know. It might lead you down a different path that makes sense, but at least you're not the ones pursuing them, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, Erica says, yes, being a writer is like being in university all the time in a good way. Oh my gosh. No kidding, right? Yeah. I get anxious sometimes, just because like, oh my gosh, you know, sometimes I get these Amazon like upcoming books. It's like, oh, this sounds so good. I just read, Bill Gates a couple times a year publishes like the best books he's read this year, and they all sound good to me. I'm like, oh my God, yeah. And I suddenly start adding them to my Amazon card, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. This is ridiculous. I got to get through my current pile. Everything sounds interesting to me. Totally get it. I've had to really restrain myself. I have all these business ideas, you know, and I drive my team crazy sometimes. All these business and service ideas, and I want to do it all. So yeah, but you can't, you know, you don't have. More and more, it's become important that you really, really focus. It's okay to get something to a point where, you know what, now that's self-sustaining. Or, and by the way, that's something, guys, if you want to work together on that, like let's say you want, like Jacob, for instance, you know, he's starting this blogging service thing. That has the potential to be kind of a self-sustaining thing where he can map out and develop systems and processes, bring in a couple of people, not as employees, but as contractors, and kind of let that thing run while he's kind of building a new thing or going in a different direction. Or that's the cool aspect of this business, is you can do some of those things. You know, earlier this year, I started doing, starting offering done-for-you services. We started in January with websites. Actually, we started last year with lead magnets. Then in January, we started doing websites, and that's, you know, that's kind of taken off for us. The cool thing about that is, for me, what I find exciting is that we have now a process in place. It's got all these moving parts, but, you know, we got people, we got process. I think we got great approach to it, and it's affordable, and we got clients, and I'm not very much involved in it at all. One thing I include with all of them is a website copy review, and but that's it. So it's really cool to see like this machine running, but you know, that still takes focus because you got to build it, you got to try it, you got to put it out there. So anyway, just FYI, if you ever want to work on that, let's talk about it. Let's first make sure that it makes sense, and then I can help you through that. Part of our work together is to scale your business strategically, and I got some great training on that. But I want to make sure that it still makes sense for you, because that is not everybody's goal. It's not for everybody, and there are different flavors of scaling that I want you to consider before you make a final decision. All right. Any questions, feedback, anything? I want to make sure I don't leave anybody out. So if you've been kind of holding out, let me know. Oh, great, Erica. Great to hear that. Great to hear that. Yeah, perfect. All right. Well, let's do this. And of course, if you still have a question or you think of anything, let me know. But as we're wrapping up, I want to make sure that you have something actionable. I know you probably have many things, but or a few things, but give me one thing. Type in capital A in the chat area and give me one thing that you are committing to doing. Let's just say you know, we're kind of wrapping up by the end of the year, okay? By the end of December, one thing that you're going to commit to take action. Taking action on. I want to make sure these calls are actionable, that you maintain the momentum you have. So let us know, what are you committing to doing? Type in a capital A and then let me know. Kelly says, restarting my warm mule prospecting this week and maybe doing some during my time off. Excellent. Biggest thing for Hannah is to get that targeting module and getting my positioning in order, updating site copy. Excellent. Yeah. And let me know as you go through that, Hannah, happy to give you feedback. Blake says, by the end of the year, I will have an action plan based on my most recent game plan. Excellent. Hope that game plan was helpful, Blake, that it made sense, or at least so far. Good stuff. I love the progress you've made, my friend. Just love that. Erica, send Happy New Year cards to my clients. This is always a good way to drum up business in January or February. Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Love that. By the way, one other way that I like doing is I look for excuses to touch base with clients, and hopefully get a little bit of work. So this is not a bad week to tell clients, in either current and past clients, hey, listen, I'm starting to book through January. Just wanted to check in to see if you had something in the works, something you've been meaning to get out the door or assign. Be happy to take a look at it. That kind of thing. It's surprising how many people, you don't need that many, right? Out of 10, if you get one or two who say yes, man, you just gave them a great reason you just used a great reason to touch base with them. That's a lot better than, hey, checking in, you got any work for me? Not that you guys would do that, but so yeah. Use the, hey, I'm scheduling into January excuse. And now is a great time to check in with clients on that. Jacob says, I'm just about ready for a new game plan, so I'll be contacting you soon. Awesome. Jacob, look forward to that, my friend. What was the second half of that? Yeah, so it's just a, here's the thing. You always want a really good reason to contact people. So when it comes to current clients, I would say there's three categories: current clients, past clients, or dormant clients, I like to call them because sometimes they come and go, and prospects, not yet ready prospects. Reaching out to each one individually and say, hey, you know, James, I wanted to touch base, you know, with holidays coming up. I'm starting to book well into January. I mean, be honest, like, you know, if you have zero work in January, don't say through the end, but just say, you know, I'm starting to book in January, or I've been booking work for January, and then say something to the effect of, if you know something, use that. Say, hey, you had mentioned this one thing, you know, a couple of months ago. I don't know if you want to go ahead and schedule that in. I'd love to put you in the schedule before I get booked up. Okay. So mention something if you have something you can leverage in the conversation. If you don't know something, which is going to be the case in most of these touch points, then let them know that you'd love to get them in the schedule. If they have something they've been meaning to get going on or assign, love to get them on the schedule. You just wanted to check in before you get booked. Just a really simple message like that. I like to get right to it. So like three sentences kind of thing. And if possible, end it with a question. For those of you who do a lot of warm email prospecting, you know that I'm really big into questions in your email, but capping it, bookending your email with a question. Is there something that you'd like to maybe revisit, or something you'd like to talk about, or you know, let me know, that kind of thing, as opposed to just a statement. And let's just see, send them out there. Again, what's the worst thing that can happen? And the cool thing, it's a refreshing approach, because most people don't do that. Most people are just, they can't think of anything creative, so they just ask, you know, do you have something? Here's the cool thing. Like, I know this tactic, and I, of course, with any tactic, you got to use it ethically, of course. But my team, they're all contractors, okay? I got someone who does a lot of my writing, a lot of my content marketing work, because I've just had, like, just, I don't really, like, I've had to delegate some of my work. And she is so cool. Like, she just will approach me now and just say, hey, listen, I'm going to be away the week of whatever. Do you want to go ahead? There are the things that you've been meaning to assign me that you haven't yet, you know? And right away, instead of thinking, oh, she's using what I taught her, right away, I don't even think about that. I go, oh, yeah. Okay, you're going to be away? All right, let me think. And then I'll give her work. And then later I go, you know, that was pretty good. So, it's as long as you use it ethically, very, very effective. So give it a try. It's a great time of year to do that. And because you're talking about next month and you got the holidays, it's kind of the excuse. And you're helping clients out. The other one, that it's a little bit more direct. It's better to use with clients you got a good relationship with, is the, hey, do you have some budget that's like you got to get rid of before the end of the year that you want to go ahead and revisit and see if, you know, if I could help you with any of that, okay? Something along those lines. Again, you don't want to use it with a prospect or someone you don't know as well, but you'd be surprised. It doesn't happen as often as the first strategy I mentioned, but you will get clients who say, you know what, actually we do. I'm glad you asked. Let me get back to you later this afternoon. We have some things that we should go ahead and assign in order to get use up the remaining budget in this line item. I've had clients give me, you know, suddenly like two white papers. Earlier in the year, they're a little more price sensitive, and suddenly, because they had this budget to use, they were willing to pay me $7,500 per white paper. I had a colleague who a couple years ago tried this. She had, she landed $29,000 worth of work in December. And get this, the client prepaid her. So she was going into the holidays with $29,000, more in her bank account. And she hadn't even done the work yet. So that's an extreme case, but it does happen. You never know. So it's worth giving it a try. Okay. All right, guys. Well, listen, this is our last call of the calendar year. Of course, let's continue the conversation in the Facebook group. And again, I want to remind you that I'd rather you be starting to get more active in the new 2X group, okay? And that's all in the email that I sent you. I think you're going to find some great discussions, excellent conversations, great engagement, and some awesome new people there. It's only going to add more value to your business. So check it out, be active, and let's continue that conversation. And if we don't talk before then, happy holidays, happy new year, and I'll talk to you guys again here in a few weeks. Take care.